So, states rushing to move up their primary dates have created an interesting challenge for the presidential candidates this weekend. South Carolina will hold its Republican primary Saturday. That's the same day Nevada holds its Republican caucus, leaving the leading Republican candidates with two states to conquer. But South Carolina doesn't have its Democratic primary till January 26th, so the Democrats have extra time, and they've turned their focus to the Nevada caucus this weekend. So just what can we expect to see this weekend in a race where there isn't really a clear front runner on either side? Can I say that, Jim? Jim VandeHei joins us, co-founder of Politico.com. Hey, Jim.
How are you doing?
Well, we're doing okay.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great. So there's so many things to talk about today. First, I want to get your take, though, on this decision in Nevada. A federal judge there dismissed this lawsuit that was brought by Clinton supporters that would have shut down these nine casino sites for the Democratic caucus in Nevada. For people who haven't heard about this, can you sum it up and tell us what the upshot is?
There's a very powerful union called the Culinary Workers, and essentially a lot of those employees work at casinos, and the Democrats have set it up where those workers can actually caucus on caucus day at casinos. Beautiful arrangement. Obama got the endorsement of that union, and that union is super powerful. I mean, think of the AFL-CIO on steroids.
Wow.
in one state. And so Clinton supporters tried to keep those culinary workers from being able to vote at the casinos, which would obviously help her win the election.
Mm-hmm.
A judge ruled for the culinary workers and for Obama.
Okay, there you have it. So speaking of Hillary Rodham Clinton, she has taped an interview with Tyra Banks. I mean, my first question is really, how did Tyra get to be a political must stop? Obama was there a few months ago. I don't know what the world is coming to, but that's
what do you think
take.
About that, Jim?
Yeah, I know. It's The View. It's Tyra Banks.
But what do they get specifically?
Politicians will go anywhere.
Banks.
And I think the idea for Hillary Clinton is she wants to show, again, her more human side, her softer side. She goes on Tyra Banks and she talks about sort of what she was feeling like when she learned that her husband, the president, was cheating on her. And she says, I decided that it was my best interest and in my heart, I needed to stand with him.
I think
him.
We have tape of that,
and it even came up, like, well, what happens when other women who have husbands who are cheating on them, what advice do you give them? And she says, you just have to do, what you think is right, what you think is right in your heart. I think it's a good chance for her to appear, regular and like a woman who has the same problems that other women might have.
Let's listen to a clip of her from that.
I really had to dig down deep and think hard about what was right for me, what was right for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I never doubted Bill's love for me, ever. And I never doubted my faith and my commitment to our daughter and, mm-hmm. and our extended family. But I had to decide what I had to do.
When you hear that, you think, well, that was a good move, or maybe not so much.
I just think for so many voters, they're just so sick and tired of hearing about it, thinking about it, and having it be sort of part of the political debate. But it's unavoidable, especially now as, in this month we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Monica Lewinsky.
Are we celebrating it?
Celebrating.
Mark,
you see it all
Mark.
Over the place.
We're
there was stories about it, and people are talking about it. And the Clintons know they have to deal with it, and they're trying to do it in the best way possible. I mean, who the heck wants to talk about the fact that your husband had an affair? It'd be kind of a bummer.
I have a theory about the whole Tyra thing.
Positive.
Obama, I think Obama, Oprah, Obama, Obama, Oprah, Oprah, Obama. If you want to reach young African-American women, maybe Tyra Banks is your stop. She's not going to go on Oprah.
Very smart analysis. You should be writing for Politico.com.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay, let's move to South Carolina. A lot of focus there. That's where the Republicans are on the stump. Jim, who has to win there?
The thing is so wide open. I don't know that anyone has to win anymore. I guess Fred Thompson at some point's got to win. Everyone else has won. He's got to start feeling
he needs one,
out.
Doesn't
Come
he?
Come on, give me a state, for crying out loud. I'm a Southerner, an actor. Give me South Carolina. I don't know. If he doesn't win it, everything you hear from his people is that he would drop out at that point. But the truth is the thing's so wide open. Who knows? I think anybody who wins it has a lot of wind at their back because they can look at history and say no Republican has ever won the nomination without winning South Carolina. I won South Carolina. What I would say to that is, whatever. This is a brand new year. It's wide open. Wild things are happening. I don't know that South Carolina is going to indicate anything beyond the fact that South Carolina's voted for somebody.
Mitt Romney seems to be putting in kind of a half-hearted effort there. Is that fair to say? He said even
half-hearted,
yesterday
he bailed. He said, "I'm leaving. I'm going to Nevada where no one else is really is competing." And by the way, there's a large and sizable population of Mormons. He thinks if he wins Nevada, it has more delegates in South Carolina. He could say, "Listen, I'm still leading in the delegate count. I'm winning states." And he keeps because he worked in the Olympics, likes to talk about medals. Can then say, "I now have 2 gold medals." And can say going into February 5th, I am as much a front runner as anyone else in this race. So basically he was staring reality in the face and reacting to it because he knows he didn't really have a good chance of winning in South Carolina.
Okay, so you tell us it is wide open there. Should it be this wide open? Are we kind of behind the timeline right now on settling on a couple nominees? Or are we just so uncomfortable with this idea that it's actually competitive that it makes us perhaps in the media a little bit nervous?
I think it's actually a good thing that this thing is playing out and that it's wide open at this point, because my theory is most people did not tune into this election at all until January, and then all of a sudden they get hit over the head with Iowa and New Hampshire. And had there been crystal clear front runners coming out of those two states, I would have felt like the decision's being made without most people even being able to have their voice heard. Now everybody gets to have their voices heard because it's going to February 5th and probably beyond for both Democrats and Republicans. So finally, more than half of the country will be able to have a big say in who their nominees are. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, the fact that the process awards so much power to tiny Iowa, tiny New Hampshire, which are predominantly white middle-class states and are not necessarily reflective of people in California or Texas or South Carolina, I think the fact that it's going beyond that is probably a good thing for democracy. How idealistic
is that? Telling us like it is. Jim Van de Hy is the co-founder of Politico.com. Hey, thanks, Jim.
Enjoy.
Hey, coming up, a really, really fast runner. Not as fast as he wanted to be, though. We're going to explain why. This is the Brian Park Project from NPR News.